We're going to just do this short video, and we can see the start of the last one. Australia's mind, you're in the ivy in the head of a monk monastery. And it's been truly wondrous, really, for me, and I know that everybody has sort of witnessed the, how this place has come to be. Just the energy from the community to make sure that this place happened. I wanted to just invoke a memory for a lot of people here that might, around at that time, that might remember. I wanted to just remind everybody about a man who died some time ago now, that his name was Ron Barrowby. I'm sure there'd be quite a few people here that would remember Ron. I remember Ron essentially as a man who was like the Buddha's Ananda. Ron was a man that was always advocating for monks. He was the man that actually first set up and arranged the meeting camp for the monks' monastery. And I know that Rahul will tell a few stories, and I think there's got something special to him to share with us today about the meeting of that. But for me, just to talk about the way that money came into this place. I remember when we first bought this, we had in the bank account, we had $20,000 only, $20,000. And from the time that we bought this, from the time that this place was picked up to the time that this land was ready for the bank to give us the loan, or that we had to start paying money back to the bank, which was about 6 or 8 weeks. But over that period, every bit of the $650,000 that was required to build this back in 1998 was there. It was accounted for at least anyway. We didn't need to get a bank loan from $20,000 in the bank. Absolutely amazing stories that came from that. I don't know if I might elaborate a little bit more of one particular man that's just had a daughter born. And he wanted to make sure that when his daughter had grown, that there might be a monastery for her to practice. And I was talking with him yesterday about that. He was sort of saying $250,000. I don't believe there had been quite that much. It was a lot of money. The young body was like $250,000. But I mean, we didn't even know who he was. We still don't really know who he was. He's just sort of, he's like a day for us, a day for a period. And that's how it was. The energy for this place was just so at the right time. Like, you know, people talk about all the ducks in a row and the heavens aligning. The heavens seem to align to make this place happen. And really, so it did. Just people along the way, so I'm just remembering a dear friend who died recently, Brian Creek. His house that was given to the Buddhist Society is here at this point. You know, that is just really astonishingly generous people and the ability to really want this monastery to happen. The energy is there, and I know that now that it's here, and we've got the wonderful monks that are here to fill the place up. The wonderful support that we've got here, I hope you just know that it's going to be a success. But I also just want to remember in the time that I've got here too, the wonderful presence of Sister Diana, as you would all remember. I remember the first time that we started clearing the land to build the house, just over the way here. Just each night, she would come up to that land, chanting the Metta Sutta, which is a Metta, for those that don't know, it's a sutra on loving kindness, to spread love and kindness to all the creatures, all the beings. And she used to do this every night at sunset, come up here, ask for the grubs that were going to disturb in the ground, to ask for the birds in the trees that were going to be disturbed. Ask for them to find new places to live. May we live harmoniously with them. May you all be well in heaven. May all you grubs, may all the bacteria, may you all find places to enjoy. Every night they should do this for all the time that we actually cut the ground. So just, you know, wonderful memories that have really of this place. And then I wanted to just sort of jump forward a little bit more just to talk about what I want to remember as the path of Paul. There's two of the path of Paul here today, but I'm thinking of the path of Paul, I'm sort of pitching to the Greeks, of course, but the path of Paul as Sister Viana, Sister Renaud, Sister Siri, and Sister Hazekania. The first 4 months to be ordained in our tradition, anyway, in the Theravada system. That was just a marvelous event. But actually caused us really quite a bit of trouble. The Buddhist Society, as you probably all well know, because as young Rahm ended up getting excommunicated from his, from his home monastery. But nonetheless, the situation is in place now, the staff are all aligned, and all those maybe hurtful memories that happened from that time there are now right past and are gradually being healed. And I'm very sure that as this monastery progresses and develops, we've been wonderful moments, we have several here in front of us, to guide us and lead us towards the Buddha's peace. But any of those hurts and the troubles that we've had will gradually diminish, and may we all come to peace and be able to see what the Buddha saw. So, we have some special guests here tonight, and also this class this afternoon. And the first person we're asked to come forward is Mike Mahan, the NLA Treasurer and the Minister for Energy, Citizenship and Multicultural Interests through the government, a very good friend of the Buddhist Society of Western Australia, and he's very often here at our events, so we're all very grateful to see him. So, a great pleasure in inviting Mike Mahan to come to the stand.
Thank you very much, sir. It's a real pleasure to be here today. A whole range of people have heard that a lot of engagements have been today, but also a whole range of important issues. One is this we're opening up a major facility for food. Association Society in Western Australia, all those who either do or worship or indigenous people for a whole range of firms. The first is my day job is as the Minister for Multicultural Interests, and one I take very seriously. And it's multiculturalism is divided in many ways, but it's a place that it's a type where we embrace each other. From different cultures, different religions, different ethnicities. It's something that we do it well here, we have to work on it. And I go to a lot of Buddhist functions and I see Buddhists and Buddhism and Buddhist association showing the way in many ways. Another major theme is to integrate, link Australia closer with our region of Asia. Very important. And again, Buddhist Association, Buddhists in Western Australia, recognize how to do that. Very important. Buddhism also, of course, is a rapidly growing and very significant faith in Western Australia and in Australia's whole. Not only from new migrants, of course, our old migrants, our people from Asia, but increasingly from Australia itself. In fact, I saw by some data here that the majority of Buddhists in Australia are actually Australian born. Very good. Shows our image with Asia. And from a more personal note, I go to a lot of Buddhist functions and they have I'm not a Buddhist, I'm a Catholic. But it has a common view on the Bible and aura. But also it has philosophies that are universal. Philosophies that you have to say the society, the world would be better off everyone adjusting to. Worship and therefore it's a philosophy that I, as a non-Buddhist, would like to promote. And there's some simple things about it. I don't want to be flippant, but it's just something. I have a lot of functions to do. This is my first 3 functions to do, and I had to decide how to dress today. Usually I have to wear a coat and tie, but I had a very hot day. And I have an outdoor function after this. But I thought, Anja, how would you dress? then when I was driving up the road today, I saw some signs saying warning speed bumps. They were kind of soft in the peaceful speed bumps. not heavy ones. And when I walk in today, usually you go to major functions and positions. But you had to run a gauntlet of nice smelling food. I'll give you not taste like that. Also, if we are today to open the monastery, the study for nuns. And so I read my notes, and as a Catholic, one of the problems that I've always had is the, in fact, I think it's going to, it is undermining Catholicism, my view. I'm a bit heretical, just like somebody else here. The idea of keeping priests to men only is slightly ridiculous. And that the best thing for the Catholic Church would be open to priests to female. And they are not only 50% of the population, but let's be honest, they're most sensible 50%. And there's no reason in the modern times for that. And I have to say, I did not know this. I heard, I know I've done. I've met him many times and had many interactions with him. I know he's a man of wisdom and strong beliefs, but his decision to allow the ordination of female nuns in Buddhism against the wishes of the hierarchy is right. Not only shows that in Australia, we do things differently. But again, it's a great pleasure on behalf of the West Australian government to open this facility. I'm very impressed with the way it's progressed. We all are over this last, 16, 17 years. Anjan did whisper to me that your fundraising technique that I must adopt them as treasure. I wish and I plan to make an announcement that our deficit will be closed, and I hope someone will give me a house. my promise is slightly larger than that, but you never know. Thanks for inviting me, and may you have a tremendous time here, and may you expand and please prosper. Thank you.
There's no doubt about our Jan Brahm, but he could probably take over the government's, I wouldn't really put it past him in future years. The next speaker we have is a very dear friend of the Buddhist Society. She's, over many years, come along as cordless. I don't know for how long, but I've known Janine for a long, long time. So without further ado, I invite Janine Freeman, the MLA for Zayn Aliyah for Buddhism.
It's a great honour to be here. And can I acknowledge my Aham, the treasurer and minister for multiculturalism. And can I say that I will remind you in Parliament that you said that women are, probably the smarter of the two of the two genders. So they will come back and revisit you, I'm sure. Can I acknowledge the Ajahn Brahm, Venerable Hasapana, Cecilia Mitra, the President, the builders of this magnificent facility. This is actually the third, I think, or maybe the fourth time I have come here to the Star Mazar, and I have seen it grow, and you have done a superb job in your design. And I understand that one of the venerables was also, a couple of venerables were the site controllers, and I can imagine they were looking and checking many things. So can I congratulate you? Can I in particular also recognise the Aboriginal people, the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, the Wadjuk people of the Noongar Nation, their elders past and present? I did want to just say that I am very privileged to work in the area that I represent with the Noongar people, and they give me the privilege, because I work for the elders, of being able to do that acknowledgement in Noongar, and I would like to do that today. So Nadi Kajan Noongar Mort, Kenya Kajan Inja, Buja. Buja is the land in which we stand. And the Noongar people, and I do that because I think it's so important to remember our past and our history when we stand on this beautiful place that we are in. Because Noongar people speak their own language. They were before colonisation. We were a continent of around 130 nations with about 170 languages spoken. And they have a massive and important spiritual connection to country. But it is a great honour to be here as a woman member of Parliament. In fact, I have an event on this afternoon, Minister Moynihan. I have other events on today, and the event I've got on is the fundraiser watching the suffragettes film. So a bit in terms of the struggle and determination of women and men who support them throughout the world to make sure that they have equity and fairness and representation. And so today continues that important journey with the establishment on reflecting on this auspicious occasion of opening the largest wholly independent monastery of nuns. I would like to, during this and honouring this, to reflect on the important history of this land on which the monastery stands. Gidji Gaup means places where spears are made in Noongar. Family is at the heart of Noongar culture, and the ancestral connections are like the intricate system of roots reaching back to the dreaming. The Noongar people pass on these connections, rules and customs through stories, art, song and dance. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I just want to tell you a bit about what I've been trying to discover about this land in terms of its Noongar history. Professor Len Collard talks about this area and in interviews he has with a playwright, Jack Davies. And this is around the Avon Valley. It borders Balladong and Noongar and Wadjuk land. And so there would have been lots of trading going on between those two lands in this very important place. And in this Jack Davies play, and I'll end with you, I did have another story about the Lily Wave Tower, and I'm happy to tell it to you later. But what he says is that the elders in this area were hunters and gatherers, but the hunters could smell the wind. In fact, the word's not so much smell the wind as to... It's called Bandung, reading intensely the wind. And I'm sure when you stand in these areas that you get that intense feeling of the spiritualness of this place and that capacity to feel the sacredness of this area. And so you are now the custodians, along with the original owners of this land. I wish you best of luck, and I know that it's in very safe hands. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Judy. The next speaker probably needs no introduction. Nonetheless, I'll give you one anyway. Our very own Ajahn Brahm is going to come and address us now. Thank you, Ajahn Brahm.
Very good. Again, it's a great honour to be here at this time. All the different times that I myself want to speak from the very beginning, so now. There's obviously a long way to go yet. But carrying on from Janine's talk about the history of this place, many of you know that even a long time before the dreaming, that this part of Western Australia belonged to a huge continent called Wanderland. It was actually joined to India. And in Buddhism, we always have the idea that is not just one Buddha, but many Buddhas before, many Buddhas afterwards, and a previous Buddha who lived in India. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of years ago, this land on which we stood will be just a walk from where he lived. So, this part of Australia, the west coast, has been part of India for many centuries before. Maybe previous Buddhas walked on this land in which we're sitting now, before the dreaming, which is one of the reasons why this place is more spiritual than anyone realizes. And it is also why that it's only in Western Australia. Please apologize for Melbourne and the Sydney. If this part has got the strongest spiritual energy in Buddhism, there must be some reason. It's because it was part of India before. And it still has the energy that we have now. But going forward many more years, I was looking through the old newsletters of the Buddhist Society of Western Australia. And I saw this article in the July-September edition of 1995, which was the origin of this place in which we're now sitting. It was an article called "A Nun's Monastery in Western Australia? Question mark. A notable weakness of Theravada Buddhism is the near invisibility of the female counterpart of the monk. Where are the nuns?" This was 21 years ago. "Moreover, several women from Perth have wanted to try Theravada monastic life and have had to do so from overseas. Perhaps, I wrote 21 years ago, it is now the moment to start discussing the nuns' monastery in Western Australia. Traditionally, there have been both male and female monastics in Theravada. An indication of the original content of the monastic order can be seen in the list of contributors to that ancient traditional text, the Theravada Theravada. These books of poems by enlightened monks and enlightened nuns in the time of the Buddha have contributions from 264 monks and 101 nuns. So this is new, this is traditional. The traditional form of the female Buddhist monastic was the bhikkhuni. The bhikkhunis in Theravada died out many centuries ago. And it is, what I was saying then, a discussable point, a good point, whether the original bhikkhuni ordination can be legitimately revived today. And also, I said, the severe restrictions imposed by the bhikkhuni monastic rule make it debatable whether women even want to revive the bhikkhuni ordination, and thus have to live up the set of rules they find to impractical to keep. This was 21 years ago. But this is for women to decide, not for men, I wrote. An alternative form to bhikkhuni ordination has been developing in many countries, was a 10 precept nun. For observing celibacy and not receiving money or being used as money, the 10 precept nun keeps the two essential rules based into the Buddhist monastic life of renunciation. Many 10 precept nuns diligently observe many other rules beyond this 10, thus giving them a complete monastic rule similar to that of the monk. How the final form will evolve will be seen in due course. And it's being seen now. And perhaps it might be seen here in Western Australia. As the monks' monastery body now becomes a strong and stable community, and as Dhammaloka Buddhist Center becomes well established as our center of Balmoral, the praiseworthy motive to be of even greater services to others is now leading some of first Buddhists to reach further for the next goal. A Theravada Nuns Monastery in WA. Such a vision seems way out of reach. At the time, 21 years ago, the Buddhist Smart Society still has to repay a debt of around 90,000, still owing for the construction of that new hall at the time of Dhammaloka. So you see, it's possible to repay debt. Perhaps now is the time to start planting a field to prepare for the seed. You may ask, and some people ask this question, why female monastics can't share the property with the monks of Bodhi Gaya? We have tried this in the past, but it just did not work out. Visitors who were told that there were celibate monks and celibate nuns living on the same premises raised their eyebrows in surprise. And if you want to know why, the old joke, I don't know if you've heard me say this before, my aunt Jenny, but this was a joke which my father told me when I was young, the American Baptist. He made this joke. My father used to ask me, what fun the monks have? And the answer is none. That is not true. But nevertheless, you can understand why we shouldn't have monks and monks in any monastery. Moreover, my own experience is to tell me that not staying in the same monastery as monks, you do have to stay in the same monastery, they have tended to live in the shadow of those monks. In the time of the Buddha, the monks and the nuns were in separate communities, independent as part of administration, but working as a team to spread the Dhamma. Such was the ideal then, and such is our vision now. An independent nuns monastery working as an essential complement to our monks monastery for the practice and teaching of Buddhism. But why in Western Australia? There are many advantages for a pioneering dance monastery here in WA. Because the Bodhidharma monastery has provided an example of how such a monastery may be arranged to give adequate seclusion yet be accessible to sincere visitors. Moreover, the burden of a senior nun teaching is lessened by having senior monks who can share the teaching burden in Ascension Mahamara. In short, the Buddhist nuns monastery in quiet bushland near to Perth would be attractive to women monastics who have a leaning to long periods of secluded meditation practice. The easiest part, of course, is writing this, but at least it's a start. Some suggest that we should wait until the senior Theravada nun is ready to come here. This was written before we knew out of my aunt. But then, such a nun might not be attracted here unless it's a suitable place for her to come to. I often reflect that our first Buddhist center, the small house in Magnolia Street, North Perth, was purchased first, before Ajahn Chakras came to stay there. Perhaps that this is the way to go. Perhaps it is not. What do you think? And then my little article ended in 1995, sometime around July, August. 21 years this meeting. 21 years of penance. But at least we've got there. And we've got there, overcoming many different hurdles. And of course, with Ajahn Wayama, she did a huge amount of pioneer work. And even though she can't be here today because of her sickness, still, we send her all of our gratitude as if she was here, because her shadow is still here in Dhammasar. This life is going down on the Ajahn Chakras shadow will always be there too. Pioneers are the leading cars who did so much work that could make it to the end of the journey. But we do need those pioneers to get things going. And now, of course, we have this thriving nuns monastery here. And you all know, as was mentioned, that we did a big reordination over 6 years ago now, in 2009. That's when we did the big reordination. But because I was one of the preceptors, not really the preceptor, but the one supporting them on the outside, I always call the people who I ordained my babies. You can see all behind you, like 11 month babies sitting behind you. These are all the monks I've ordained, and there's a few more left behind. And as you know, as a woman, once you give birth,
That's not the end of the problem. That Labour name is just a sign of what's coming soon. And so it's not just giving birth to nice amendments, making sure they're well looked after. And part of that, when I did the proclamation for you in October 23rd, 22nd, that's not bad. October 22nd in 2009, I realised that you do have a responsibility to make sure that you have a suitable place to practice, to grow, to be trained, and eventually to train others. And I must admit that was part of my resolution, very clearly in my mind when I was in. So now that part of my commitment has been achieved. You've got a wonderful place here to practice. Great facilities which have inspired other people in other lands to do the same. We're fortunate today to have the honorary consul from Sri Lanka. So, when you go back to Sri Lanka, can you please tell your government what are they doing for female monastics in Sri Lanka? You don't have to do this then, but they're not getting any support. You're talking about your friend, the son of the former president, Anama Ratnapaksa. When I last met him, I asked him, what are you doing for Bikunis in Sri Lanka? He said, oh, they're getting equal support. Fortunately, there was a Bikuni next to me. He said, no, we are not. You're getting all the support from the government of France. Wonderful, but please also give it to the monks. Sri Lanka is supposed to be a guardian of Theravada Buddhism. We have Bikunis from the time of the Buddha, traditionally. Please, use your influence. Like I had to use my influence, even though it cost me a lot of my friends. Use that influence, so please. Bring Sri Lankan Buddhism into the 21st century. Please, make yourselves proud to be Sri Lankan Buddhists. And have bikunis who have facilities just like the bikunis here in Australia. Beautiful, equitable, so they can serve the people of Sri Lanka, and so that they also can be examples. But in Buddhism, we don't just talk about compassion and wisdom, which equity is a part. We actually practice it, we do it. Actions always must be louder than words. The most eloquent sermon is actually seeing the result of all this hard work we're doing here today. And lastly, because Minister Mike Mahar mentioned he was a Catholic, I must mention the future of this monastery. You may not know that this monastery, or the land on which we stand, is 83 acres, and it's very similar to the size of the Vatican. The Vatican started with a little church on a big piece of land, just like this. So the big plan, stage number two. Take the Buddhist Vatican in Kitikap. We have the land, just up, you just have to do some more building. Because sometimes we have a bit of a joke, but who knows what happens in the future. The most important thing is that we're recognizing here this, the contribution to spirituality of women. And I think it just beggars belief that a wise person, a compassionate person, could restrict spirituality to men. But the leadership has to be male. This makes absolutely no sense. And it's also, it's not good for the society in which we live. But those who are leaders, who go up and give sermons and write books and try to inspire people, that they've got this big weakness. They're so man-centric. There is nothing terribly wrong with spirituality in the world. There is a reason, I think, why some people are leaving relationships. Because they say one thing, they do another. And at least, I think, anyone here who considers yourself a Buddhist, please, make sure that your actions do speak louder than your words. We are very silent Buddhists,
in our actions, we can really shout.
As I say, thank you very much for the nuts. Very good. Carry on.
Thank you very much, Edwin Brown. It's really interesting, isn't it, just hearing some of the memories of the place. How many people remember the caravan up there? Edwin Brown was up there by herself, living in the caravan for all those months. How long? A year or so at least. The next speaker is one of the Fab Four. Venerable Hasipania, one of the fully ordained ones that got ordained on that auspicious day back in 2009. And I have great pleasure in inviting her to come forth. She is the abbot of this Dharmasara monastery. She has been here now for 13 years, I think. And a great pleasure in inviting her to come and say a few words.
First of all, I would like to welcome all of you for taking part in this wonderful and historic event to celebrate the completions of our Dharmasara complex. So, talking about complete, so what is the difference between complete and finish? So, complete is that if you married a wonderful wife or a wonderful husband, you are complete. So if you marry a horrible wife, a horrible husband, you are finished. Now you can see that we just newly built this area, have all these facilities. So we have a common kitchen, and we have a library, and unfortunately, Ajahn Pong wished to be a fish and chip shop, but and then we have a amenities block, and then we have this meditation hall, and we have extra accommodation for monastic and lay women to come and stay. And this is really make Dharmasara complete, but we are not finished. So, I would like to express my heartfelt thanks to all the venerable monks and nuns, and also I have to make sure the names are right. That is our distinguished guest, Mr. Mike Nahan, MLO, Treasurer, Minister for Energy, Citizenship, and Multicultural Interests. So also Ms. Jenny Freeman, MLA, Labour Member for Mirapuka, and also yes. I can't find that Mr. Rush Jalagay, Council of Sri Lanka. Okay. So I still miss one. So who did that? They gave me the wrong information. My heartfelt gratitude to also go to Ajahn Mayama, the pioneer nun, so without her to start this place. So, and also goes to Ajahn Brahm and the committee and members of Buddhist societies and all our lay supporters and the donors and all volunteers to help to make this a success. And also, the last and not least, I would like to thank all the nuns and our guests, their Dharmasara community, that have been working very hard behind the scene. So of course you can see the slide, you know, they show they've been working very hard. So, and also without their support, and that harmonious and enthusiastic effort. So we would not have been able to make this possible. So thank you so much, everybody. Thank you everyone who took part in this event. So thank you very much.
That's certainly the last point that you made. Is certainly came home to me. I was up here on Monday actually, and I mean, there wasn't even a roof on the patio over there. And I just know how much work all the nuns to get for this day in particular. But perhaps I might just mention to Sister Karubi there, who I think the nuns would all agree that we've been very lucky really to find a person like her who's been able to coordinate the building program so efficiently and so well. And not only that, to be able to bring in the amount of donated material that she has done. It's really quite extraordinary. Just before I do call the next speaker, I did just want to just acknowledge Sister Naroda, who is here again from Sandy Monastery. She's back in Sandy Monastery again. Now, I've seen your mum there. It's very lovely to see you back again. Now, we're going to hear from the President of the Buddhist Society of Western Australia, Cecilia Mitra, who... It's coming to the end of the term, but it's been a very, very successful residency for Cecilia, backed up by her faithful husband. But Cecilia, it's going to be good to hear from you.
Thank you, Daniel. First of all, thank you. On behalf of the Buddhist Society of Western Australia, I thank Minister Mike Nahan for taking time off from his Sunday to come here to do the opening ceremony. Thank you, Janine Freeman. All our VIPs, Mr. Roche Jalage from the Sri Lankan Council, our invited guests, and everyone here coming to support this auspicious event. With the completion of this building project, Dhammasara is now able to provide accommodation and facilities for the training of more lay people to take up monastic life in the Theravada forest tradition. Dhammasara is also able to provide opportunity for lay women and men for a personal retreat from the busy life. Actually, initially, it was supposed to be for women only, but Ajahn Brahm says equal rights, so now we have building hospitals is important as it can heal physical illness. Building a monastery provides an environment to de-stress and heal from the tired mind. And this is beneficial to our society as we know stress can lead to physical illness. So with WA having this wonderful center, it's great for WA, it's great for Australia. I would like to acknowledge all the people who have made Dhammasara what it is today, from vision to completion of the buildings. Ajahn Brahm has been instrumental for all the numerous donations that we've had in Dhammasara Monastery. Ajahn Vayama, the pioneer, she was our previous abbot. Venerable Hasipana, Venerable Niroda, Venerable Karunika, who has been our project manager for this, she's been liaising with builders on this project, and all the nuns for the hard work. I came yesterday and I saw nuns working. All the monks who have helped, our lay people, who have provided both skilled and unskilled labor for free. The generosity of the people has been overwhelming, and some have not even been Buddhists. This has been very inspirational.
For example, I'm told that Nancy had gone to a paper shop to order the doors. And we have so many doors in this large building complex. And so they expected to pay a hefty sum. But the owner came to the monastery. Not only did he donate the timber, but also the beautifully crafted doors were donated all for free. Same thing happened with meditation next. The nuns again went to the factory and they ordered mats. And then what happened? The owner comes out and he donates more than 100 mats and he even helped to put it on the truck. Although he had workers, he personally put it on the truck himself. All the electrical wiring and consulting was donated by our skilled volunteer, and this had saved the monastery more than 100,000. Much of the beautiful things here, like the porcelain tiles you find in the toilet, they were all donated or bought on Gumtree or on large donations. This shows that women are really good at saving money. That's why I couldn't understand my husband's look of puzzlement last night when I told him I saved lots of money buying a handbag. But on a serious note, I've been president for unofficially for half a year and my second term. This project, I've been with this project for about 2.5 years and it's not always been smooth sailing. There were problems with the initial contractors. A new tender had to be done. New contractors were appointed. But as Ajahn Brahm said, good, bad, who knows? Because this proved to be a very good thing. We saved a huge amount of money with the new contractors, Troy and team, and they've done a wonderful job. By Venerable Sadiqa that the contractors had done their best to work very mindfully, observe the serenity of the place, and treated the nuns with much respect. And when there were problems, it was handled with compromise on both sides. Also, I was involved in the contract stage, and I fondly remember meeting Venerable Pantipana and Venerable Sadiqa quite late at night. And sometimes there were no places were open, so we had to meet in Murdoch University to discuss terms of contract. But this today gives me great joy to see the building completed. Design of this building had been carefully thought for with the help of Adrian, our architect. And if you notice, each building is separated by landscape to give seclusion and serenity, but at the same time, close enough for functionality. Budget, I'm told that the original budget of 4.5 million was just for the bare building, but again, with the nuns being able to save it, we have so much support, skilled and unskilled labor. This budget was a little bit more than this, it included fixtures, fitting, landscaping, a 3-bedroom accommodation for men and a 6-car garage. It's really wonderful what's been done. We still need a little bit more money for the roads to be completed. Your money will go a long, long way. And finally, I'd like to say that the Meritorious Act is not just giving, but feeling the joy in giving. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cecilia. And now I have very great pleasure in inviting to the stage Troy King, the builder, who is going to just give us a short address on his trials and tribulations. But hopefully he'll be able to talk about some joy that might come along the way as well.
Thank you. Thank you, good morning. My name's Troy King. I'm the director and owner of the End Project. Our journey with this project began with a discussion with Milan, Adrian Price, the architect, and Venerable Veronica. At this meeting, it was clear that there was a synergy between our values and the way we conduct ourselves, and we were confident that we could help you deliver the project given the trials and tribulations that you had up to that point. The journey throughout the construction project has provided significantly more to us than the buildings you see around here today. Throughout, Venerable Karulika has educated us about this wonderful site of Gijagana. We have attended rain ceremonies, completed bushwalks, had kuchi tours, and also been given tours around the numerous hidden parts of the site, with so much splendour that there is out in the bush. It's lovely. But this has provided us with a unique first-hand insight into your community. It's developed a greater awareness to your approach. We've certainly enjoyed the hospitality provided by the nuns throughout the time that we were here. At our site meetings, they were always impeccably catered for with lots of offerings and tea and food. It was lovely. Our contractors were even treated one morning to a fully put on morning tea where the nuns actually prepared quite a lavish meal for them, which was lovely, and I know it was very well received. The contractors absolutely loved it. And our site supervisor, Jason, he was very, very well looked after, to the point that our office team and team on other sites, they were very jealous and envious of Jason because of the preferential treatment that he was getting out here, being looked after by the nuns. I think he even grew a few kilos as well. However, the project wasn't about us. It was about all of you guys and about your community. But we know that the nuns, and particularly Venerable Veronica, learned an awful lot throughout this process. We were really quite amazed by her research ability. There were many, many times when she knew the next corner that we needed to take before we perhaps did. Her ability to go and research and understand the building methodologies and how things come together was the real testament to her character. And look, she's a wonderful athlete. Just done what I said. She's a wonderful asset to the community, and she deserves all the gratuity that comes to them. Thank you. Today is a proud moment for myself, and certainly all of my team at BD Projects, but just to be here and to be part of this, the opening of this facility. We've enjoyed the journey and the opportunities that it has provided to us. Thank you very much, and we wish you all the best, and hope to see you for a long time. Thank you.
Thanks, Troy. He looks a bit young to be a builder, doesn't he? There you go. And I think we can definitely say the same for the next speaker that I'm going to invite to the podium is Adrian Price, who has been the architect of this project. I have great pleasure in inviting Adrian to come forward and say a few words.
extensive gardens that make the complex feel special. So they have been developed by the nuns also and the community of helpers who have very generously donated their time, resources and energy to transform what was basically a beach full of sand into what you see out there today. But more importantly, the spirit of giving is alive in the buildings. Never have I experienced so much generosity in the process of a project like this. People have donated vast sums of money. They've donated doors, floorboards, furniture, floor mats, building materials, white goods, and of course their time, labour and expertise. Some people who donated were, as Cecilia said, not only the Buddhists, but members of the public, if it's in many cases, who realised this was something special and they wanted to be a part of it. I don't want to name anyone for fear of leaving others out, but it was very humbling to look into their eyes and see the conviction that they had when they there is one person that I must acknowledge, because without the commitment, energy and organisational prowess, we would still be standing here in the Patrick Lane in the middle of the forest. And Venerable Veronica would make a very great architect if you chose to be one.
I think there's going to be just a change in the plan. Ah, okay. I wonder if Song Pop should come over there. Where are you, Song Pop? Come up and organise this Song Pop. This is Song Pop, ladies and gentlemen. He's one of our wonderful members that looks after Mrs. Brown's driver and Buddhist extraordinaire.
And also the troublemaker as well. I'll be doing it for you. พี่ๆป้าๆข้างนอกครับ เธอเอาเงินเข้ามาเลยนะครับ Okay. I wait until you leave. What I want to say is thank you for everyone that came here and your generosity to donate the money to make the road from the main road up to here. So I'm not sure how much it costs, but I think Mr. Mao can help. Okay. First of all, if you can, everyone, I know that you could buy it, but please say hello to us together 3 times. First of all, please say the word that together 3 times. Not more.
gentlemen. So we've come to a very auspicious part of the ceremony now. I might just say that that credit is about to blew my head out a little bit. But I must say that part of that was a little joke by Edmund Rahm, in that he was quoting the number of his sins. But it was still a very, very significant event for Tommy than Ben Rose. We are now going to proceed with the lighting of the shrine ceremony, and all of our special guests and are going to help participate in the lighting of the candles that are lined on the shrine. Now, this candle ceremony. This candle ceremony is a ceremony to symbolise the wisdom that we trust will be emanating from this centre. So perhaps all those people in the queue there, if you would like to just take a seat for a second there, right where you are. I think that's what we're going to do there. If you would mind, if you could just sit on the floor and go there for a minute, and we'll just proceed with the lighting of the shrine. So as I mentioned, this lighting of the shrine is a symbol of the wisdom that we hope will emanate fully from this beautiful Dharma Sangha monastery, from the wisdom that our beautiful nuns will be practicing with and disseminating into the community. So we're going to do that by asking every one of our invited guests here to kind of light the candle. And we're going to do this in a particular way. The male is going to go on the left-hand side, and the females on the right-hand side. And just so that you can get an idea of the way that we're going to do it, I'll invite Venerable Hasatanya to come first and light the candle on the shrine. Venerable Hasatanya is the abbot of Dharma Sangha. That's very good. Next, we have Edmund Rahm, the spiritual director of the Buddhist Southern Way, abbot of the Bottom of the Iron Monastery. Next, we have Chi Kwan Sun Yin, the abbot of the Shiyong Zen Center in Kingsland, in Victoria. Very familiar folk here in Australia. Aya Rebecca, the monthly representative of the Newberry Buddhist Monastery in Victoria. Very pleased to have you here as well. And then, of course, our very own Sister Maroda, the senior nun from the San Diego School. Andy Bonajaha, representing a donor from Switzerland. And then, of course, Mike Goodhart, our treasurer, coming out of Canada, and then from the Department. And then Janine Freeman, MLA, Labour for the Mirabooka, if you come for all of them. And of course, Ross Jarge, the Honorary Consul of the Democratic Social Republic of Australia, whose jurisdiction is throughout Western Australia. And then of course, our very own President, Cecilia Mitra, if you can come forward. Troy. If you'd like to come forward, Troy the Builder. And Adrian Fraser, our architect and colleague. So there are all these people up to do. We're going to turn and give us some.
Excuse me.
Light a candle.
it? I'll give you a start. Ready? Ready? Strike the match. Strike the match now. Light the candle now. And I think all the candle lights are just cleaning. A big round of applause. And it necessarily means that wisdom will be here at Dharamsara for a very, very long time. Now I'd like to invite all our Sangha Desert members to come forward and give the blessings. I'd like you all to come forward to the front. I think this people has a hand. We'll tell you how to sit. Everybody come here. Is show. And just before we do that, you are all welcome to stay around the complex. There will be some display rooms open to come and see. And there is people around, you'll see with a satch, that will be able to direct you or to answer any questions that you might have about the place. But you're very welcome to stay on and have a little tour around the complex. So with the slideshow, this will be the end of the proceedings today. So we do thank you all for coming along and hope that you travel home safely. Now this slide.
Thank you.